The following is an encore episode of Hour 1 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
You've tuned to the Turley Frequency, starring your host, Kevin Turley, with guest stars Mike Romano and Reed Hodges, and special guest stars, the members of the FCC, whom we respect
respectfully.
Now, time to get tuned into the frequency. Call the show at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Or text us at 251-928-2111. And now we cross live to the Archangel Radio Studios in downtown Fairhope to at last feel the Turley Frequency.
Hello and welcome. Today on the show we meet Joe Passanello and Joe Resinello, hosts of Radio's The Frontline with Joe and Joe. I warn you, it may get a little loud. We talk radio and the culture war with Joe and Joe in the next segment. Top of the hour, we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you are very much invited to join us. Feel free to text me your prayer requests on 251-928-2111. The lines are open for you right now. In the final segment today, we hear the story of a remarkable man, that is award-winning photographer Jeff Bruno, and how he refound his Catholic faith, and in the process discovered a new mission from God. That's all coming up in story time today. Okay, with all that good stuff, I guess we'd better get this show on the road. Hello and welcome once more to the Turley Frequency this Thursday morning. It is an absolute pleasure to have your company as usual. What would I do without you? You could do without me, but I can't do without you. Now, listen, I'm still thinking about this idea that we had yesterday about consecrating the show and all the listeners, and that means you, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Do you remember we had Father Boniface on Monday and he was talking about the consecration, 33 days? I'm still thinking about it. I need some advice. I need you to help me out, really. You see, I think it's a good idea, but I need other people, I need you to come forward and say, yes, I agree, I think it's a good idea, let's do it. If I can get 10 people who call in on 888-928-0881 or who text the show on 251-928-2111, then we will set about consecrating the show and you to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, wouldn't that be something? We talked about it yesterday and we said we couldn't think of any other shows that have done this live on air. This could be a first. What do you think? Talk to me. Okay, now, as I was saying yesterday, and we didn't really get round to it because I started off on a total tangent about World Youth Days, but that's the way this show goes. It was St. Benedict's Feast Day on Tuesday, and it was very timely for reasons I'm going to talk about in a second. And that is because working from home is hitting the headlines again. Now, I could do a show on working from home and the changes in the workplace every single week. I kid you not. Working from home is one of those issues which just seems to be of the moment. People are always talking about it. I don't know where you're working from home. Maybe you could text me and let me know. How many people listen to this show while working from home? How many people listen to this show while driving to work? Getting a bus to wherever your destination is? Walking to work? Whatever it is. Be interested to know where you listen to the show, and if you're listening to it while you're working, maybe we're background noise while you're taking calls, working on the computer. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. It's always working from home, right? looking after the house, looking after the children, all the usual stuff. The really heroic work that often goes unnoticed. But working from home has hit the headlines again, not least because of an Australian bank. Have you heard about this? I'd never heard of this bank, and I'm not sure I'd particularly want to bank with them. It's called Commonwealth Bank in Australia, and it's in a massive tug of war between the bank and the local and the employees union as to whether the 49,000 employees should be working in the bank or working at home. The Commonwealth Bank has ordered its 49,000 employees to return to the office for at least half their working week starting next Monday. Now, I don't know about you, that seems to me a perfectly reasonable request, right? I mean, they're not asking them to come back all the time, as we did in the old days. They're not saying, fine, work from home all the time. They're saying we need a mix. We need a hybrid model. Some working at home, some working in the bank. And I mean, banks probably need people to work in them. Have you tried, I don't know what it's like in the States, but trying to find somebody in a bank these days is almost as difficult as trying to find a bank, a bank which is open, a bank which is bricks and mortar. There's been an absolute rash of closing all these banks down. Everybody is supposed to do it online. Not everybody wants to. Not everybody can. Anyway, this edict from the bank has resulted in what's described as a fiery backlash. Do you ever notice in the press, it's always a fiery backlash or a furious backlash? It's never a kind of whimper of, I can't be bothered. Anyway, the employees have come back, their union has weighed in, probably claiming all sorts of human rights violations. I'm not sure how this is going to end. Maybe we'll come back to it. But anyway, it's just one example of many, right? Here in the UK, the government is arguing with civil service unions, public service unions, demanding that civil servants, the people who run the country, the apparatus that keeps the different government state departments going, that some of them should be actually in the offices dealing with the public, dealing with ministers. But there's another side to this work from home, and we've talked about this as well on other occasions, and that is the financial cost. Now, we talked in the past about the financial cost to the small businessman or woman, right? The person who sells coffee outside a large office block or sells sandwiches or brings sandwiches into the office. Do you remember? Those people, their livelihoods are being decimated by the lack of footfall in large cities. Every time I go into London during the day, I'm really struck by how few people there are in comparison to 4, 5, 6 years ago when I was a regular commuter into the centre of town. And it was buzzing. London was buzzing. Now, not so sure. Reuters have just released a news item today saying that the shift to remote working is likely to wipe off the slate $800 billion worth of real estate property value for office buildings in major global cities. And it's going to happen by the end of this decade. By 2030, they reckon $800 billion will be wiped off the slate in cities such as Beijing, Houston, London, New York City, Paris, Munich, San Francisco, Shanghai, and Tokyo. The demand for office space, they reckon, has dropped by 13%. I'm surprised it's only 13%. I would have thought it was more. But anyway, the financial repercussions of this, that's the thing which is beginning to impact. And it's beginning to impact with people who have a lot of money invested in property portfolios, especially in the City of London, for example. Before the pandemic, a way of really having sure-fired rental incomes was to have an office block somewhere in the centre of London for businesses, corporations, that type of thing. I remember speaking to a friend of mine who works for a very wealthy individual who were desperately seeking to find office block space in the center of London. This is just before the pandemic. And I remember having a conversation with him. He knew about these sorts of things. He was very sort of savvy, business savvy sort of person. And he just said, London, it's impossible to get hold of business locations, you know, to rent out. And he was really struggling. And they had lots of money to spend, but they just couldn't find anywhere to spend it. Well, it's gone the other way, totally, by the looks of things. It's gone the other way. Now, one person who has waded into all of this is none other than Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk is a very wealthy man. In fact, I think he's the wealthiest man on the planet, certainly one of them. He's the man that spends a lot of money going into space and coming back again. But he's also the man who bought Twitter. I certainly, if I had his money, I would not have bought Twitter. There's other things I would have bought. It would not have been Twitter. But he has waded into the debate about working from home, and he has some rather, shall we say, interesting views on this. Now, the clip we're going to play you is what a YouTuber is saying as Elon is being interviewed. And part of the reason for that is because at the end of every single interview I found with Elon talking about this, he starts using expletives. Right. So I didn't want to embarrass myself, yourself, or Archangel Radio by having that played live on air and your coffee being splurted out across the table. So we're playing a little clip of Elon with a YouTuber reacting to it. Now, this YouTuber works from home, as many people do. I do, right? I'm sitting here in my home talking to you. I'm working from home by the miracles of technology. So let's have a little listen to what Elon Musk had to say.
Elon Musk recently said that working from home is a moral issue.
I'm a big believer that people are more productive when they're in person. It's like, really, you're going to work from home and you're going to make everyone else who made your car work in the factory. You're going to make people who make your food that gets delivered, that they can't work from home. The people that come fix your house, they can't work from home, but you can. Does that seem morally right? That's messed up.
You see it as a moral issue?
Yes.
Since there are people who can't work from home, they have to do things in person, like food service, construction. He's saying that this just isn't fair and doesn't make any sense. I definitely can understand where he's coming from. I work from home full time. It does give me more freedom and more flexibility and more time with my kids, but it can definitely take its toll on my long-term stability, social life. Do you agree with what Elon said about working from home?
Okay, comment down. Great. That's great. So I played that for two reasons. One, it gives us Elon without the X-rated conversation, but also because of what that YouTuber said at the end, which was that it has a cost. And I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But I think it's really interesting what Elon Musk is saying. He's moving the debate away from a workplace, work management debate, the rights of employees. He's moving it away from that. Not even a financial debate as to whether it's a good thing for the economy or what. He's basically saying it's morally wrong. It's morally wrong for you working at home while somebody else has to go out and get all the services in place to facilitate your working from home. Now, I'm not absolutely sure about that. I mean, he has a point, right? There were many people during the lockdown that were very happy to sit at home and have somebody else go out and find their food and deliver it. We know that. We've had those debates. But I'm not sure in the scale of moral wrongdoing, working from home is near the top. Certainly an interesting take on it, and not one I had heard before. But there was a counterblast to this, and it came from the entrepreneur Kevin O'Leary, who is Canadian political figure, but also an entrepreneur, well-known figure in Canada. And he had a completely different take on it. And this was his response to Elon Musk.
Why would you force somebody to work in a war zone when they can work, particularly on a product like Twitter, anywhere? He will have a very hard time keeping the best and brightest in Twitter saying, you've got to come and go through the war zone every day. If you get shot at, that's not my problem. Do you have a military vest on? Do you have a helmet? Do you have a tank? How are you going to get to work? You leave after sunset, you die. Who would want that? San Francisco is uninvestable and unlivable now. And it's not just me saying that. Look at all the retailers pulling out. The shrinkage is like 10% downtown. Why would you force somebody to work in a...
Thank you, Reid. So, I mean, it's a little bit of hyperbole, right? I mean, he's hyperbole. I mean, he's overdoing it a bit. San Francisco is a particular case. We know that. But every large city, there was a culture where commuting to work was certainly like an obstacle course. I wouldn't describe it as a war. At times it felt like it in London, but it was more an obstacle course. It was more part of the strain of getting into work. And there was always a sense of relief to actually get to work on time. Tubes hadn't stopped. You hadn't been stuck in a tunnel for hours on end or whatever. But there's been a new survey, a new study, I guess, which has revealed that there may have been an upside to commuting. And I get this. I really do get this. The study's authors said the following about commuting. They said commutes are a source of liminal space. What's liminal space? That's a time free of both home and work roles that provides an opportunity to recover from work and to mentally switch gears at home. It goes on to say, during the shift to remote work, many people lost this built-in ability, built-in support for these important daily processes. And without the ability to mentally shift gears, people experience what's known as role blurring, which can lead to stress. So people find it difficult to mentally disengage from work. And as a result, they're always at work. And that's the beginnings of something known as burnout. Now, I told you about one of my brothers and his work. He's a GP, and during the pandemic, they were working all from home. And I said, well, that must have been a relief. You didn't have to go into the surgery. And he said, not at all. Not at all. He said, I used to go to work, do my work, see my patients, come home. He said, I'm now living at work. So there's working from home and there's living at work. Can you see how that boundary can get blurred? Now, there's a woman who's written a very interesting article invoking St. Benedict. Yeah, St. Benedict, who we celebrated during the week. And she's using the sort of spirit of St. Benedict, because St. Benedict, as you know, in his rule, the rule of St. Benedict, there's a very famous sort of motto for the Benedictine order, which is ora et labora, which is pray and work. And the one thing about the Benedictines is that they have a sense of balance. If you've ever visited a Benedictine monastery, and I've been to a few of them, they are very good at this sort of balance. It's partly in the rhythm of the day and the way the office runs, the way that the work periods run, the way the rest and recreation and nighttime and the great silence. It's all beautifully choreographed so that you never feel sort of strained. That's because the timetable is so exact, it takes the strain. Now, this woman in this article, in Elatia, I'll just give you her name so we can be fair to her. Her name is Therese Chavantes Barber. And she says you need to take your work out of the house. So she's saying, well, you may have to work at home, but sometimes you could maybe go to the local coffee shop or take it to a local library or something which differentiates home from work. She goes on then to talk about taking a minute to pray and to think in the transitions between home and work. And then she goes on to say that it's important that you make a list of sort of wrap-up routines, so you know when you're at work mentally, psychologically, and you know when you are at home. And she says, for example, it can be just putting on your slippers instead of your shoes, or changing into your, what she describes as her leggings, or something cozy. She also says something which she got straight from the Benedictines, which is very, very helpful. Most of us work on computers. Most of us work inside our heads, right? And she says it's very good. The spirit of St. Benedict with the monks is that they should do physical work. They should do something physical. So when you finish your work period today working from home, think about going out for a walk, doing the dishes, doing that backyard work that you've been putting off for months, cleaning the house, something physical, something not mental, something away from the computer. Just a thought. The other thing you could do is, of course, just really pray to or ask St. Benedict to help you. He had a tip for everybody working, and it was as follows. Whenever you begin any good work, you should first of all make a most pressing appeal to Christ our Lord to bring it to perfection. And I think that's pretty good advice. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be meeting Joe and Joe. You're going to not want to miss this. Stay tuned to Charlie Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.
Is your conversation, and that conversation is going on everywhere.
That, my friends, is Joe Passanillo and Joe Rossinillo, and they are hosts of Radio's The Front Line with Joe and Joe. Now, this is Catholic Radio's fearless cultural commentary, born from sitting around America's kitchen table. That is because it is from the perspective of the everyman. The sort of man who used to be seen in films by the likes of Frank Capra and John Ford in classic Hollywood. The Front Line tackles a broad array of topics which transcends the type of politics as usual you get elsewhere. Never afraid of taking sides, the conversation between these two self-proclaimed average Joes is anything but average. Providing both intellectual stimulus and a gut punch, their frenetic dialogue hits the listener right between the ears. Coming out of the streets of New York City and now reaching out to the heartlands of America. At a time when it needs help most, the Front Line with Joe and Joe is fighting for the very soul of America. And it's an honor to say to my fellow broadcasters, Joe and Joe, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thanks for having us, Kevin.
Kevin, thank you so much. That was one heck of an introduction, I tell you.
Listen, guys, I love you both, but you are an interviewer's nightmare. You know why? You both have the same sort of accents to my ear, and you're both called Joe. So how are we going to manage this? How are we going to work it out?
Joe P and Joe R. That's cool.
Joe P and Joe R is perfect.
Joe P and Joe R. Okay, let's do that. And I will annotate a little bit more as we go through it. First of all, it's great to have you both on. I used to listen to you here in London when you were on the Crusade Channel. And I was really struck by your energy. I mean, that's the first thing. You guys, you just don't tackle the issues. You virtually kick the living daylights out of the issues. Where does this energy come from?
Go ahead, Joe R., you could tackle that one.
Well, okay, I'd say the Holy Spirit, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think both of us, we're from the Northeast, obviously. We come from Italian backgrounds. We're zealous, but I think it's honestly the Holy Spirit. I mean, we speak from the heart. We don't get paid. You know, we're not like beholden to no one. We speak the truth. Whoever wants to hear it listens to it. We speak it boldly and we speak it fearlessly. A priest asked us to start our show to reach primarily to Catholic men. We try to do that, but we try to reach the regular person. Jesus was a regular person, and that's who we're trying to reach. I think these are the voices of the voiceless, people who are saying exactly what we're saying. And frankly, we have to basically let their voice be heard. That's what we try to do. And whoever wants to listen to it, let them listen to it.
Joe, no, anything to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it comes from the whole, what you said earlier, Kevin, about the kitchen table. That's exactly what Joe and I are doing, because these are conversations that many people in America, you know, grew up with, listening to their fathers and their uncles sit around the kitchen table, you know, arguing about politics or talking about the government or whatever the case may be. Well, we're doing the same thing. The only thing is, in our father's time, it was seemed to be a little bit clearer. Where now, it's just the fog of war out there. You need voices that are clarifying things for you. And we are in a war. We're in a cultural war. We know we're in a spiritual battle. So, you know, so the energy comes from, you know, being, you know, just throwing around ideas, bouncing off each other, like Joe said, representing what's already going on out there in the culture. But there's so many voiceless people. You would think that nobody thinks like we do, Kevin, yet everybody Joe and I encounter think like we do. But the mainstream media is not putting those people on, you know, they're not being put on MSNBC or CNN or anything like that, or even Fox News for that matter. All right. So that's where guys like Joe and I and you and many other people say to a lot of people out there, no, you have a voice. And you know, if you'd allow us to, we're going to be that voice for you. And that seems to be what's happening and where our success is coming from.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say that they may not agree with you when you start, but by the time you've finished with them, most people, the white flag is going up and saying, yes, okay, I get it. But listen, I mean, it's one thing, Joe and Joe, to start out, and I get it, you know, maybe having a beer or having a coffee together saying, isn't the world terrible? Isn't this situation awful? Or whatever it happens to be. But it's another thing to then embark on what you guys have done, which is this wonderful media odyssey. How did this come about?
Joe, you break it down.
Which Joe are we talking to now, Joe? You gotta identify yourself.
Joe P.
This is Joe P.
Pasicello.
Pasillo.
Pasillo, forgive me.
Yeah, people always get you know, Resinello, Rossello. It's all Italian. That's fine, Kevin. What happened was a couple things here. A good priest, like Joe mentioned, encouraged us to do this, to start reaching out. We started doing just purely political and cultural commentary. We went a little back and forth. We wanted to see exactly, you know, what we wanted to talk about. So it's a good combination between our interview shows that we do on the radio up in the Northeast, our social media, between, you know, our Catholic faith and politics. I would say that Joe and I are, yes, we're the everyman. We do bring, I mean, you do have to have a certain level of knowledge of history, certain level of knowledge of philosophy. Again, not PhDs on the wall, just some common sense, so that, you know, we can have an intelligent conversation. One thing to rant, Kevin, anybody can rant. Okay. That's what we're doing, is we're having an intelligent conversation. We bolster our arguments that we make, with our Catholic faith, with historical example, with philosophical argument, but on an every man level, because we're every man. We're not, like I said, we're not PhDs. And that's what's appealing to people. We could talk about deep ideas, but in a regular way. And that's what Joe and I bring to the table. Joe, I don't know if you agree with that.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we're the medium. We talk to a lot of very, very smart people, and we have a gift whereby we break down their argument and make it palatable, their ideas, making them palatable. And we've been very blessed. We've spoken to, you know, some of the greatest minds in American theology. We've spoken to college professors talking about political theory. But most of all, we talk about the truth. The truth is understood by all. It resonates in the heart. Whether you went to the Gregorian, whether you frankly have no education at all, the truth resonates. And when you speak the truth and when your heart is pure, you want to hear it. And I think that's a key part of our success. We speak from the heart. We speak the truth. We have gotten out of the boat, Kevin. I mean, to be honest with you, we work. We can get fired. I have 5 kids. Joe has one of who he basically adopted. He did. So at the end of the day, people, particularly Catholic men, have to get out of the boat, and you will reap the fruit from it. And frankly, that's what we're trying to do, you know, with you know, shaky hands and unstable feet. We've gotten out of the boat. We have heard the call, and we're doing it. And I think if we do that as a nation, we will change the nation, because Jesus Christ said we would if you follow him. And we're trying. I mean, that's all it is. We're like nobody. We're no different than anybody else, Kevin. I'll be honest with you. No different. We just got out of the boat, and we're trying.
You did, and you got out, you both got out of the boat, and, you know, absolutely credit to you both. You definitely have, and you've made quite a few waves, if I can use that analogy since. But here's the thing. You mentioned the word gift, and you also mentioned the word rant. Now, you're absolutely right. Both of you know this. Anybody can have an opinion and an internet connection. Anybody can go on YouTube, and there's plenty of them, and all they want to do is rant and rave. And you listen for about 5 seconds, if that, and you switch off because it's incoherent. Now, I've listened to you both, and you're not like that at all. There's no ranting. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of emotion, which is good. I'm not knocking that. But talk to me a little bit about that idea of a gift. You must have recognized at some point, both of you collectively together and individually maybe as well, that you had something where you could actually use the medium of radio to communicate with people about the truth.
It's funny, and I want to talk about this, Joe P., first. The priest who encouraged us to do this 5 years ago brought us to basically a sound studio. And this is, you know, professional sound studio, and we cut a couple demos. And this is a guy that did commercials for corporations, like a professional. And he told us afterwards, he was like, "You guys, I thought this was going to be a disaster, just like absolutely stuttering." And I'll be honest with you, Joe has an acting background. I work in banking. I mean, I have no background. The second we started, I'll be honest with you, I felt like I did it my whole life. I'm not lying. I never even told Joe P. this. I really did. It was seamless. Joe and I come from the same area, believe it or not. Our fathers went to high school together. He's my brother-in-law. And while I didn't grow up
Where is that area, Joe? Just for anybody listening who doesn't know your accent precisely, where are we talking? New York City?
Newark, New Jersey. Newark. You know, we say Newark, but Newark, New Jersey. We're the sons, you know, our grandparents came from Italy. Our parents, his father was a teamster. My father was a barber. Regular people. Basically, it felt completely natural. I kid you not. I remember at the first break from that first time we were there, I knew something was there. I really do. And I'll be honest with you, Kevin, we have just begun. I tell Jill this, we have just begun because we're willing to do it. We're willing. That's the key. Christ will acknowledge that we are willing to follow him wherever he goes. And that's why, I'll be honest with you, we haven't even scratched the surface, if you ask me. Wherever it goes, we're going. And frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's bore fruit and it will continue to do so.
Wow. Absolutely.
Joe P., anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it this way. Joe's absolutely right. I mean, we connected right off the bat as far as our conversation when we first met, because as he said, we're brothers-in-law. When we first met, I didn't know Joe growing up. I only met him when my sister-in-law met him and we were introduced, and we just started talking about things that we talk about now on the radio, obviously on a different level now. But when we talk about things, like, man, I could talk to this guy for hours. And I look at it this way, man, and it's not even a joke. My father, I think about it all the time. My father, when I was a kid, my father used to say, "Hey, Joey, you have a big mouth." In other words, because I would just say what's on the top of my head, like all the time. And I didn't realize that my father was actually being prophetic, because now I do have a big mouth. I got a very big mouth, and I used to not be able to control it. And in this context, my big mouth, which is a gift from God, I am not joking. It is an absolute gift from God. Now I know why he gave me a big mouth, is to open it to speak the truth, as Joe said. One of the things we like to say on the show all the time is the greatest counter-revolutionary act you could commit right now is to open your mouth and speak the truth. Well, I have a big mouth, and as Joe said, I'm willing to use it. So we have the gift, and we have the will. And like Joe said, Christ is going to take that and he's going to do with it what he wants. And we're just going to keep doing it. He keeps putting something in our lap. We're just going to keep doing it. We have an interview with this person. We're going to do it. We're going to create this wave and get ourselves in trouble. So be it. You know, and that's the way we look at it. So, yeah, we've definitely been blessed. You know, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to be challenged at different times by this culture that we live in, by this totalitarian, you know, culture that we're surrounded by. But we're by the grace of God, we're willing to keep pushing forward. And that's okay. The bottom line.
Listen, you're inspiring me just listening to both of you. This is wonderful. Listen, if you're listening to this and you want to communicate with these two wonderful gentlemen, Joe and Joe, then you can do so. You can telephone us on 888-928-0881 or text me and I'll ask the questions on 251-928-2111. Okay, we'll have more of Joe and Joe on the front line here in Alabama this morning right after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to, I was going to say, to Joe and Joe on the front line, but it's actually the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And that's because I'm speaking to Joe and Joe from the front line with Joe and Joe. Now, you're enjoying listening to them, I'm sure. We're just going to play you another little clip from one of their videos. This is from a few years ago. It's slightly comic, but it's also so self-effacing. I found it very, very endearing. So let's just have a little listen to this.
One sec, Kevin, I'll have that for you.
Okay. Joe, this is from one of your earlier appearances, and you won't mind me playing this because it's kind of comic in a way.
It's all good, Kevin. It's funny you mentioned Mike Church. I remember seeing your name. I was going to bring it up. Mike was the first guy to give us, like, our big official break before we got our radio show in Connecticut. You know, he was very good to us. And to be honest, we learned a lot from that show. We used to have to speak for 3 hours, and we have no radio experience. I mean, that's kind of hard. And we did it.
Tell me.
And we,
I used to listen to it, Joe and Joe. I used to sit there thinking, this is a high wire act, and these two guys, they're doing pretty good.
No, it was really good experience. And to be honest with you, we'll always be grateful for Mike for giving us that chance because, you know, he had a lot of experience in radio. And it was, to be honest with you, Joe and I learned a ton.
Yeah, and I also, as you know, had a show briefly on Mike's airwaves. I was filling in for Advent once, and it was great. I mean, he's a very generous impresario. He gives you the keys to the kingdom and say, over to you. So, listen, let's leave that clip because it was just a minor little thing, and we'll come back to it because I want to talk a little bit about. I've got some questions coming in. First of all, Joe and Joe, and. The first one, probably a little bit serious. They're asking, where did Joe and Joe think we're headed as a nation? Over to you guys.
I'll jump on that one.
We better go back to the rules of the engagement here. So that's Joe P, right?
Yeah, this is Joe P. We're Joe and I. We're not. We're not fatalists. Or anything like that. We don't get down about things, as we mentioned earlier, because if people would recognize that we're in the hands of Jesus Christ, we'd be a lot better off in this world and as a nation. As far as it goes, as far as where we're headed from here, we're not battling anymore on a political level where you have, let's say, liberals, you have conservatives. You're talking about should taxes be higher or lower and things like that, and what should our foreign policy look like. Now we're talking about basic reality. You have a party that denies basic reality. When you go into that area, then it seems like you're in a state of complete chaos. So where do Joe and I think it goes? America, let's keep it with America for a second, Kevin. America's got to start. It has to come back to Logos. Now, we obviously know as Catholics that the Logos is Jesus Christ. Okay, the Logos incarnate. However, There are people of goodwill who understand that what's going on out there is just out and out chaos. That is devoid of logos. And as a nation, we need to get back to fundamental truths. We need to get back to fundamental morality. And what we personally think America cannot sustain itself on the path that it's on, and it's going to transform into something. What that something is, Joe and I hope it's going to be, and I know your listeners, Kevin, hope that it's going to be something that's, quite frankly, a whole lot more Christian, and specifically a whole lot more Catholic. Because that's what we know will save our nation. But if we don't get back to something along those lines, then we're finished. And heaven help us for what's coming next. Because we don't know. There's no way of telling what comes next if we don't get back to Christ in America.
Joe, I'm sure you would just echo that, right?
Absolutely. To be truthful with you, in doing this over the years, I've learned that basically words many times just repel off people, almost like rain off of a raincoat. People need witness, transformation. I believe that sincerely. We have to get serious. Each individual, taking the words of John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. Fasting, almsgiving, prayer, sacraments. Decreasing, allowing the Holy Spirit to enter us. And when we do, we will impact our worlds. People have to see, this is from Pope Benedict, they have to see from their dark place something better. That lighthouse. Why are you making it? Why are you happy? And I'm not. I'm just like you. And the answer is because of Jesus Christ. Our lives have to be animated by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, we will change our environments. We will change our families. We will change our communities. Saints change the world. The Lord is calling people to sanctity. And that will change America. And I'll be honest with you, again, with unsteady steps, I fail every day. My wife and I are committed to that, and it can be done, and that's what we have to do. That's how America changes.
Yeah, and the other thing is that I remember about your show is that although you deal with a lot of the dark themes that are there, you know, the mainstream political stuff, that pretty dark stuff, right? It's about corruption, human corruption, individual corruption, moral corruption, all the rest of it. But it never feels like some of those shows where you come out thinking, I've had enough, right? Because there's a lot of energy in your show, first of all, but there's also a lot of humor. There's a lot of banter, as we say, between you two guys, right?
Well, that's our nature.
Yeah, and that's our North Jersey Italian personalities coming through. You know, you do have to laugh a little bit, Kevin. Even though, like, you know, things are bad out there. We all know that they're bad. You can't get down. I mean, getting down isn't going to really, or getting depressed isn't going to help anything. Just constantly being angry. And believe me, Joe and I get angry, and there's a lot of things to get angry at. But yeah, we should have to try to remember that in the end. See, we flip to the end of the book, Kevin, and we know who wins. So ultimately, we shouldn't get depressed or down. So yeah, we do try to laugh a little bit and inject a little humor. You know, that's our personality. So, you know, we like to try to laugh a little bit. It can't be all fire and brimstone, Kev.
No, it can't. And also one of the issues for people like yourselves who are literally on the front line in terms of the cultural war and also proclaiming the truth, one of the weapons of the enemy is discouragement, gloominess. These are the things that you guys seem to blast away with the volleys of the truth, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, just to piggyback off of that, you're 100% right. I mean, Mother Teresa used to say, you know, people need to see smiles. Why? I mean, to be honest with you, gloomy saints. There are no gloomy saints. You can't be dour. Our lives are animated by Christ, and that brings joy, to be truthful with you. People have been happy in prison. Prison, saints. Why? And here's another thing. In all honesty, you read the lives of the saints. Why can't that be us? Why can't that be you? Why? What makes them any different? Their will. You have to will it. It's about your will. It has nothing to do with your talent. Too many people write themselves off. My father was like that, you know, to a degree. You know, oh, I'm a simple person. I'm a barber. Yes, you are a simple person. You didn't have a college degree. Yes, okay. Who cares? Who cares? God uses the forgotten. And if he finds someone more forgotten than me, he'll use them. We're just like everybody else. It's the will. You have to will it. And you have to trust. And God will show you that he'll provide for you. He will. And with each time he shows you, you'll take larger steps. Think about what saints have done. They're people. Why can't we do that? Why? I say that to myself. Why? Why not me? Why not? And if we think like that, there's a sense of a recklessness to that. But wasn't Christ a revolutionary, the greatest revolutionary? Was Peter not a revolutionary? Was Paul not a revolutionary? They all were. We have to be revolutionaries, trusting that God will provide, because he will.
Absolutely.
I don't trust myself, Kevin. I'm going to be honest with you. I trust Christ. I don't trust myself at all. I learned that at 22 years old. My way does not work. I follow the blueprint to the best of my ability, and anyone could do that. If you,
absolutely.
Anyone could do it.
Listen, guys, sometimes I think you're using all my material up here. You know what I mean? Because I've said exactly the same thing on this program. So we're singing from the same hymn sheet. We really are. But I want to tell you this. Obviously, I'm talking to you from London, so I'm a few hours ahead of you guys. So I was up early this morning, went off to Mass. I knew I was interviewing both of you, and I was sitting reading the Psalms in the chapel before Mass began. And I just happened to be reading Psalm 80. And got to Psalm 80, verse 10. And you know what it says, guys? I'm sure you know it off by heart, but I'll read it out for the audience anyway. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I don't know about you, if that resonates with you, but when I read that, I thought that is a radio vocation, right?
I would agree.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And the beautiful part about that is that hitting the nail on the head, Kevin, as you just did, that is essentially what we believe and what Joe and I have diagnosed our problems to be, not just in America, but worldwide. People don't realize that they're in Egypt. People do not realize that they're enslaved. The difference is the Jews in Egypt knew that they were enslaved. Okay. People nowadays, they don't know that they're enslaved. They think they're free. And that's why they have a boot on their neck and they don't even realize it. That Psalm, you know, if people would open up to the Lord, they would understand what true freedom is. Like Joe said, we don't do anything perfectly. Joe and I are both flawed men, all right, as we all are, okay? But what we do is we have the aspiration to do what Christ tells us. Our Lady says, do what he tells you. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to do what he tells us. And what we are, if nothing else, Kevin, is Joe and I are free men. That's why that psalm rings true to both of us, is because we're not slaves to anyone except Jesus Christ, which makes us truly free.
Amen. Now, listen, we're running out of time, guys. You're radio guys. You know how this thing works. So, listen, just tell me very briefly from both of you, where is Joe and Joe front lines? Where are you going? What's the ambition? What's the next horizon for you guys?
The ambition is to be, we talk about it all the time, and I'll let Joe speak to this also very briefly, is the ambition is to be in a place that the Lord puts us where we continue to do what we're doing. He elevates us and helps us to keep perfecting what we're doing, and we get out to as wide of an audience as possible. And because Joe and I are not tied to having to make a paycheck, or we're beholden to, and we'd like to make a living at this, but leaving that aside, we're not beholden to anybody as far as that's concerned. That means we're even free in that regard. We hope that the Lord just puts us in a position where our message, which is everybody's message, gets out there to as wide an audience as possible. Joe, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Whatever door opens, we're going to go into it. I mean, you mentioned Mike Church. I mean, Louisiana from New Jersey is a long way. Here we are. We're talking to people in Alabama. We have a radio show in Connecticut. Believe it or not, our producer for our social media is in Canada. He saw us on the internet and sent us an email randomly 3 years ago and drove down from Niagara Falls. That's no lie. And we've been working with him ever since. Whatever door that gets presented, we will walk through it. And walk through it with the vigor and with the zeal and with all our gifts and with everything we have. And we'll do that until the Lord calls us home. I mean, wonderful. That's it. That, I mean, like where it, you know, what's the scripture? What did Jesus, he came from Nazareth. What good ever came out of Nazareth?
I know. Listen, guys, we're running out of time. This is wonderful stuff. You're going to have to come back in another time. Now, listen, we're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the next segment. We're going to pray for both of your intentions. Anything in particular you want us to pray for?
Joe, you go
first. Stay on the. Yeah, just that we stay on the right path, that we don't waver. That's what I would say.
Right. Joe Orr, anything to add?
Just pray for my wife and I and my children.
Wife, I'll pray for all your families. Don't worry, your families, and that you stay on the right path. Okay, guys, tell people where they can find out more about you and where they can access and listen to The Front Lines with Joe and Joe.
The main thing right now is to find us and follow us on social media, which would be on YouTube, Frontline TV, on Facebook at The Frontline with Joe and Joe. We're really growing there. Really trying to build up the Twitter presence, @withJoeandJoe on Twitter, Frontline with Joe and Joe on Facebook, Frontline TV on YouTube. And just help us out, share us, like, subscribe, hit a button, do all that fun stuff.
Joe and Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Thank you,
Kevin.
Okay, when we come back, we'll be praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio.